Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is March 24, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about 1 cent mobile fintech platform to support cashless transactions in Malaysia. Kronos integrates with Shopify for omni-channel services. Central Bank of Brazil launches national QR code standard. Global online retail transaction values to reach $4.80 TLN by 2024. Wirecard expands presence in Mexico. Pizza Hut offers contactless delivery, carryout, curbside pickup by expanding its team. PaymentSense launches free tool to help restaurants take orders online. E-commerce platform Jumia offers support for African marketplaces. All Surplus launches program for SMBs to sell excess equipment. London unicorn fintech Revolut rolls out in the US. How knee-jerk reactions can worsen supply chain volatility. Open banking broadens the corporate card value prop. Fintech sits between buyers and suppliers for faster payments. Now let's get started. 1 cent mobile fintech platform to support cashless transactions in Malaysia. TFP Solutions has announced the availability of 1 cent mobile-based fintech platform to local consumers in Malaysia after the Movement Control Order, MCO, has been lifted. The 1 cent platform aims to help business owners with the transition cashless digital transactions. The company plans to offer rewards by providing cash rebates and various other incentives. Subscribers will also have the option of making cashless purchases at designated merchants through the 1 cent online wallet. Additionally, the company intends to launch a prepaid Visa payment card that will allow customers to obtain withdrawal cash rebates from several local and international banks' ATMs. Kronos integrates with Shopify for omni-channel services. Kronos Advanced Technologies has announced the integration with Shopify to use the unified platform for integrating all commerce channels with the company's business systems and supply chain network management. Kronos is preparing to introduce its latest generation of technology and air disinfection products under their newest. The Shopify integration offers the following benefits and capabilities. Unified multi-channel integration platform integrating online orders placed on the Kronos storefront. Automatically sends tracking information and order confirmations to our fulfillment facility. Publishes enriched product content to Kronos storefront, optimizing product listings and assortments while keeping inventory synchronized in real time. Shopify is an e-commerce platform currently powering over 1 million merchants across 175 countries. According to the company, Shopify Plus merchants, with annual sales revenues from US$1 million to US$500 million, have seen an average year-over-year growth of 126%. Central Bank of Brazil launches national QR code standard. The Central Bank of Brazil has announced a new national QR code standard meant to help make mobile payments more universal. The financial authority has stated that the purpose of the national QR code standard, which was dubbed BR code, is to achieve a method of universal usage. The idea is to create a standardization comparable to what exists in conventional payment terminals. Those terminals already accept a number of different types of payment technology, including cards, chips and tags, and even devices. The national QR code standard will also allow the same barcode to be used for a range of purposes. This unveiling is only the latest in a number recently made by the central bank in the country. In addition to the quick response code regulations, the central bank also launched an instant payments platform in February 2020. All this was a component of a broader innovation program meant to completely update and refresh Brazil's existing financial system. Global online retail transaction values to reach $4.80 TLN by 2024. A new report from Juniper Research has found that total online retail transaction values will reach $4.8 trillion by 2024, up from $3.3 trillion in 2020. This growth will be driven by emerging markets, with China having 62% value growth over the next 4 years. The research identified the Chinese online retail market as a major factor, as well as regions such as Latin America and Africa and Middle East, as improvements in connectivity will enable the rise of online retail in new markets. The research also found that mobile handset penetration is rising faster than banking penetration in developing markets, meaning that mobile access is the best way for online retail and payments providers to reach potential users. Juniper Research provides research and analytical services to the global high-tech communications sector, providing consultancy, analyst reports, and industry commentary. Wirecard expands presence in Mexico. Germany-based fintech Wirecard, in collaboration with Banca Afirme, has announced equipping television channel Canal 22 with payout product Afirme Efectiva. Afirme Efectiva supports Canal 22 for e-commerce payments, POS spend, and ATM withdrawals. Wirecard and Banca Afirme, a Mexican financial institution with a nationwide presence, are collaborating to equip television station Canal 22 with employee payout products for e-commerce payments, point of sales, POS spend, and ATM cash withdrawals. Wirecard and Banca Afirme are working together to implement and market payout products, branded as Afirme Efectiva, in Mexico. The cooperation comes at a time when the Mexican government is strongly supporting cashless initiatives through multiple ministry-run programs, the Wirecard press release mentions. Afirme Efectiva cards support e-commerce and POS payments, along with ATM withdrawals. Canal 22 benefits from features such as streamlined administration of disbursements, bulk loading of payout cards, and an overall reduction of overhead costs, through an administration tool called Afirme Payout. Through this cooperation, and in alliance with Banca Afirme, Wirecard is expanding its presence in Mexico for corporate and public sector clients. Pizza Hut offers contactless delivery, carryout, curbside pickup by expanding its team. Pizza Hut has announced it is hiring and putting new procedures in place to meet the changing demands of customers during this critical time. Focusing on the safety of both customers and employees, Pizza Hut is now offering contactless delivery nationwide, which means that no matter the location, customers who want a more contactless option would receive their pizza at the door upon delivery. To order, the customer clicks on delivery instructions and writes in how they'd like their food delivered before they check out. They can also prepay and tip using any credit or debit card. The delivery driver will notify the customer once the food has been dropped off. Other precautionary measures the company is taking is doubling down on sanitization and handwashing procedures, as well as it is ensuring a hands-free experience. Once the pizza leaves Pizza Hut's 400-plus degree oven, it slides hands-free into the box and straight to one's home. Moreover, Pizza Hut and its franchisees are hiring, offering more than 30,000 permanent positions, currently available nationwide. Available jobs include cooks, shift leaders, restaurant managers, virtual call center agents, and drivers to meet the increased delivery demand. Also, the company is expediting its hiring and onboarding process. The new process aims to have delivery drivers trained and on the road safely in 5 hours. PaymentSense launches free tool to help restaurants take orders online. UK-based fintech PaymentSense has launched a scheme empowering small restaurants to take online orders amidst closure fears. PaymentSense will create free websites for its existing customers that need to transform their F&B businesses into takeaways to withstand COVID-19 social distancing protocols. The scheme also allows restaurant owners to order bespoke menu flyers, as well as access tools and guidance on how to promote their takeaway online. Existing customers can visit the PaymentSense website, where they will receive step-by-step guidance on how they can create a branded online order page, order custom flyers, download guides to promote their takeaway online, and order food packaging. Additional marketing resources such as a social media toolkit, bespoke printed flyers, and even gift vouchers have been designed to maximize impact and help owners get their new service up and running. As the campaign is nonprofit, the fintech company will not charge for this service, only passing on third-party fees at cost. The Bite Back campaign is a goodwill gesture as a way of showing support to the hardworking small businesses in the hospitality industry. E-commerce platform Jumia offers support for African marketplaces. Jumia, a Nigeria-based e-commerce platform, has announced it is offering support for marketplaces, logistics, and online payments to governments in Africa. The project is part of the global action against the COVID-19 outbreak. Jumia's actions to support governments in their fight against COVID-19 include facilitation of social distancing by enabling consumers to buy online. By offering contactless delivery options, the company strives to eliminate physical contact and potentially reduce the person-to-person infection. The platform will provide access to affordable basic foods and sanitary essentials on the marketplace platform by partnering with vendors like Reckitt Benckiser and others. Additionally, Jumia provides safe deliveries to consumers everywhere, including remote and rural areas, with Jumia's integrated logistics network. This is important especially for elderly and sick people at home. The company has donated certified face masks to health ministries in Kenya, Ivory Coast, Morocco, Nigeria, Uganda, and others, and offered to coordinate the distribution across healthcare facilities and workers. Founded in 2012, Jumia offers e-commerce services through its marketplace, logistics, and Jumia Pay. All Surplus launches program for SMBs to sell excess equipment. All Surplus, the marketplace for selling off various extra assets and items, wants to help businesses list and sell their own surplus items for free. The update will allow businesses to use the service to list the items they have for sale and sell them through All Surplus auction style website, which could help them raise new funds at a critical time during the virus pandemic. All fees for selling items on the marketplace have been waived for the time being for the same reason, the press release states. All Surplus currently sells around 5,000 assets for sale and separates them into around 100 categories. CEO Bill Angrick expressed affection for small businesses and said the service could be useful for the current situation, in which people are discouraged from gathering in large groups to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. With All Surplus, Angrick said users could feel secure doing business without having to necessitate in-person contact. The press release states that sellers can use All Surplus to list their items anytime they want, from any location and on any of the numerous devices people can utilize today to do business. There are consulting services offered, which the press release states can resolve any issues that come up during the selling process. The marketplace is run through the Liquidity Services tool and has 20 years of experience selling things. Over $8 billion in assets have traversed the market in that time period. Some of the categories offered by All Surplus include wholesale and retail goods, trucks of various sizes and weights, vehicles, construction, material handling equipment, IT assets, and other types of manufacturing tools and equipment. Companies in the time of the coronavirus have stepped up to help in varying ways, such as H&M's foray into assisting with medical supply delivery in Europe. Using its massive supply chain network, the fashion brand wants to help distribute masks and other such supplies to those in need. London unicorn fintech Revolut rolls out in the US. London-headquartered fintech Revolut is launching its app-based digital-only bank in the US after attracting more than 10 million customers across Europe and the UK. U.S. customers have already expressed an interest in Revolut and have been on a wait list ever since Revolut announced last year that it was preparing to bring its financial super app and debit card across the pond. As the cost of living increases disproportionately to people's take-home salaries, now more than ever, people need to know exactly what is coming in and out of their account. They should have the tools to help them manage their money more conveniently and accurately, Nick Staronsky, founder and chief executive officer, CEO, of Revolut, said in a statement on Tuesday, March 24. When Revolut launched in 2015, it was on a mission to create a financial super app that would serve as a central hub for consumer financial management. With more than $800 million raised in funding rounds, the unicorn already has a workforce of 2,000 that includes staff in Silicon Valley and Manhattan. When spending or transferring money overseas, most people are unaware of the hidden fees that banks are charging them. The world is becoming more connected, and financial services should be supporting this notion, not hindering it, Staronsky added. People in the U.S. can quickly open a Revolut account as of today from their smartphones using the app for iOS or Android. From there, people have to upload identification, enter their personal information and wait for verification, which generally takes just minutes. Immediately upon approval, people will have everything they need to start making deposits and making payments. Deposits in the U.S. are backed by the FDIC up to $250,000 via a collaboration with Metropolitan Commercial Bank. Direct deposit users in the U.S. can get their salary 48 hours before getting paid by their employers. Customers are alerted instantly whenever money is deducted from their accounts, so they also know exactly how much money they have and where it's going. Users can set up spending and payment categories that work with their lifestyle and can create a budget to track their finances. Revolut customers can also send real-time payments for free, easily split a bill with friends and round up spending to easily save spare change. Money can be spent, held and transferred worldwide at the interbank exchange rate in 28 currencies, and customers can take money out of the 55,000-plus ATMs in the U.S. and around the world. Customers also have the ability to freeze their cards and turn off payment functions, such as tap and go swipe or online payments. Revolut also has a disposable virtual card. All Revolut cards are also fully contactless, supported by Apple Pay and Google Pay. Digital banks, also known as challenger banks, are the fintech alternative to legacy financial institutions. How knee-jerk reactions can worsen supply chain volatility. For many businesses around the world, the coronavirus pandemic is a brutal wake-up call as to the importance of supplier management and supply chain risk mitigation. Industries from goods and beverage to medical supplies to auto manufacturing are feeling the squeeze of disruptions in what some experts are calling a crisis. Yet taking stock of an organization's global supply chain can be overwhelming. Indeed, Lois Coatney, partner and president of ISG GovernX, said businesses face a major roadblock to supply chain risk management right from the get-go. They're not even sure how many suppliers they have, which is surprising, she told PYMNTS in a recent interview. They have general information about their suppliers because they cut them a check. But as far as what's the content of services those suppliers provide, understanding the locations they do work in, understanding the level of risk they're bringing to the environment, they really don't have visibility into that. Businesses may have procrastinated this monumental undertaking, but the current volatile climate means they can no longer afford to hold off on developing a more robust supply chain risk mitigation strategy. Identifying the risk exposures. With some organizations working with tens of thousands of suppliers, it's not always feasible for firms to connect with every single vendor to evaluate their risk exposures. Today especially, time is of the essence, and Coatney said businesses must prioritize identifying their biggest areas of risk exposure first. Clients are in a very rapid state of getting their arms around what they have, where those suppliers are, how important their services are to their business, she said, adding that firms should pinpoint the top 20% to 30% of their most significant risk exposures within the supply chain. That's particularly difficult as organizations come to understand that risk is not only presented through the immediate supplier base, but through tier 2 and 3 suppliers further down the supply chain. This can quickly catch businesses off guard, especially as emerging regulations come into play to combat financial crime and modern slavery. Coatney pointed to the example of Australia's Modern Slavery Act, which requires businesses to report to the government on slavery risks within their supply chains. A business may assume this is not an issue amongst their vendors, but even use of services from providers like Microsoft, Google, and Apple, which have faced allegations of use of slavery to make their products, increases risk. When you think about your supply chain, you have to think about that awareness, said Coatney. It's a moment of, wow, my world is a little bit bigger than just the people who I sit across the table from. Preventing knee-jerk reactions. The coronavirus pandemic has added an extra layer of pressure to mitigate supply chain risk on top of the challenges of maintaining compliance and managing suppliers. During times of such volatility, Coatney said it's easy for organizations to make knee-jerk reactions about their vendors, particularly when it comes to payments. One client that's really struggling with COVID-19 right now are immediately going out to their suppliers and saying, we're going to go from 60 days to 120-day payment terms because of cash flow issues, she recalled, adding that she's seeing more organizations withholding payment or enforcing credit to incentivize their vendors to fulfill their contractual obligations and provide consistent services. It's a delicate balance that can quickly backfire, however. Withholding payment to vendors means those suppliers can run into cash flow challenges and risk going out of business, and even that would, in turn, elevate risk for their corporate customers that suddenly have to source from new vendors. Working together. Collaborating with third-party service providers that can support supply chain risk mitigation is critical in preventing rash, short-sighted decision-making. Technology can arm businesses with valuable data analytics to assess their vendor performance, enforce contractual agreements, strategize payment plans, and benchmark their standing against industry peers. While ISG's GovernX solution is able to assess data based on the information of a corporate buyer as well as the data that buyer obtains from their supplier through documents like invoices, Coatney said the true value is in placing that information in the broader market context. Being able to not only service corporate buyers, but their suppliers as well, also means the GovernX solution has access to a trove of valuable insight into how businesses are performing in the current climate and aid in their strategy development moving forward. Each business is different, but Coatney offered a word of advice that can be applicable to everyone today: don't panic, and work together. We're advising our clients to take a step back. Let's not make rash decisions but work collectively as partners to recognize that clients are struggling, and suppliers are struggling, she said, adding that organizations should take a longer-term stance as they make their next moves. Now is not the time to withhold payment, now is not the time to enforce credit. Let's make sure we're keeping things rolling, and after that, we can determine if there needs to be any sort of payment adjustment. Open banking broadens the corporate card value prop. Commercial card adoption is on the rise among European corporates eager to embrace opportunities for faster, electronic payments with the added bonus of rewards and incentives from card issuers. Yet as companies take a much more stringent look at their finances to prevent any excess spending, firms find that the card programs their financial institutions offer don't always provide the added features they need, namely, custom spend controls that prevent employees from making unauthorized purchases. For traditional financial service providers, card products have solved for payments friction for a variety of users and use cases. For corporates, however, the payments problem doesn't start and end at the point of transaction. As Payhawk co-founder and CEO Risto Borisov explained, the challenge in business spend can begin after a payment is complete. For small businesses, being able to make sure that an employee is able to not only physically make the payment, but that they have been authorized to do so, are not overspending, and can capture transaction data for accounting and reconciliation purposes, makes the post-transaction process a headache. Sometimes, the problem starts the moment a small business actually pays, he told PYMNTS in a recent interview. There is a big life cycle for an expense for small businesses. They not only have to deal with the part of having to get a corporate card, but what happens after they pay? This is where the problem starts and where a lot of the banks and issuers currently don't do anything to help with those processes. This challenge has given rise to a slew of third-party fintechs looking to help businesses manage their spending, but offering an alternative to traditional banks isn't always the most effective solution. Commercial cards open banking opportunity. One of the biggest hurdles in the commercial card arena is not only in offering value-added functionality like expense management but enabling businesses to use those tools without having to switch their banks, said Borisov. This guided Payhawk's market strategy, with the company positioning itself not as a neobank, but as a software provider that coexists with corporate users' existing bank accounts. Open banking and PSD2 regulations enable the company to work with local solutions in various markets around the Eurozone to enable the company to connect to businesses' existing bank and credit card account data, enabling firms to keep their current banks but move funds to a Payhawk virtual wallet that's linked to Payhawk commercial card tools. It offers a much more flexible, integrated experience because of open banking regulations in place in Europe, noted Borisov. For organizations, switching conventional banks can be quite challenging they're using a huge amount of services from their existing banks. This strategy means Payhawk can tackle another major pain point that prevents corporates from adopting commercial cards. According to Borisov, as more businesses hire remote employees and contract workers across borders, they struggle to issue those professionals company cards because they don't have a bank account in the same market as that worker. Not only can issuing corporate cards to these remote workers provide enhanced visibility into what employees are spending company money on, but it can also be an important tool in making those remote professionals feel they are a part of the team. For Payhawk, this is a key focal point of investment as it looks to enable businesses to issue cards to employees across the Euro economic area. Expanding the value prop. Elevating the commercial card with spend controls is key to enabling businesses to cut down on unauthorized or excess spend when employees work on a company project or take a business trip. But the value proposition for the commercial card can go further, with Borisov identifying invoice payments and accounts payable as a greenfield opportunity for card adoption growth. Yet card acceptance is not guaranteed in every payment scenario, especially when paying B2B suppliers. Mixing payment rails can be an effective way of overcoming this obstacle, said Borisov, who provided PYMNTS an exclusive look into Payhawk's upcoming service, which will allow corporates to make single euro payments area (SEPA) payments via their company cards. In addition to automated data extraction for invoice processing, payment approval and reconciliation purposes, Borisov noted that this tool can enable businesses to wield the benefits of making payments with company cards, while their suppliers can benefit from faster payments and an easier collections process. There are a lot of small invoices here and there, and the process for paying them can sometimes take 45, 60 days, he said. Why should the process of an employee swiping a card be instant, while the process of paying an invoice take 45 or 60 days? As commercial card adoption continues to expand across Europe, there will be additional opportunities for value-added functionality, particularly as open banking and PSD2 find new ways to overcome corporate payments friction. Borisov highlighted the opportunities to develop solutions on top of banks' existing commercial card offerings as capabilities to connect existing bank accounts expand. And despite limited adoption of corporate cards today, he noted that the market growth opportunity is significant and perhaps much higher than people realize. When we go to an existing small or medium-sized business, we usually issue 5 to 10 times more cards than they have in use today, he said, noting that businesses are eager to adopt corporate cards, yet struggle to overcome the hurdles to obtaining, issuing and managing a high volume of cards within a single enterprise. We were thinking CFOs prefer the cash reimbursement process of employee expenses because they're more in control. But every CFO is telling us they would like all of their payments to be card payments. Fintech sits between buyers and suppliers for faster payments. Faster B2B payments can strengthen buyer-supplier ties, but accounts receivable (AR) and accounts payable (AP) objectives are not always aligned. This week's look at the convergence of AR and AP explores the technologies that sit between business partners to find common ground and accelerate the B2B payments flow. Goldman Sachs strengthens SAP Ariba ties. SAP's Ariba network aims to address B2B payments friction on both the AR and AP side by enabling more seamless connectivity between suppliers and buyers. Augmenting the solution for cross-border B2B payments is Goldman Sachs, which recently announced its addition of its global payments capabilities within the SAP Ariba network. The integration means suppliers can be paid in their local currency, while payers can pay in their own preferred currency and gain real-time payment tracking with automated reconciliation capabilities. In their announcement, the companies highlighted the improved buyer-supplier relations with both sides of the transaction able to conduct business in the way that works best for their back-office processes. Fuji Xerox, Esker expand partnership into AR. Last year, business process automation firm Esker announced a partnership with Fuji Xerox to connect joint corporate customers to AP automation technology. Now, the partners are expanding their collaboration into the AR arena. The companies recently announced their AR partnership, with features that not only support businesses' collection and cash application processes, but streamline processes for vendors' own customers. The AR automation tool boosts efficiency of invoice delivery, credits, collections and payments to accelerate the order-to-cash cycle, with reduced friction on the AR side also aiming to accelerate payments by reducing friction on the AP side. WideOrbit discusses the customer's customer. In a recent conversation with PYMNTS, Paul Jaffe, Senior Director Product, WO Payments Suite at WideOrbit, discussed the importance of not only providing our solutions for media sellers, but of also servicing those sellers' own customers and their AP operations to accelerate B2B payments in the media and advertising arena. Sellers are really looking to help their cash flows and automate workflows, he said. One of the main focal points is around automating AR and collections and focusing on our customer's customer. That means strengthening buyer-supplier relationships through seamless onboarding and self-service capabilities that reduce as many barriers as possible for media sellers' customers to make payments on invoices. Upflow lands funding for AR tech. Upflow, based in France, recently announced new funding to the tune of $2.7 million for its technology that aims to combat late supplier payments. The company, which secured the investment from Kima Ventures, eFounders and Angel Investors, positions itself between a business bank account and their own business customers to track invoice payment patterns. Although marketed as an AR tool, the company interacts with both buyers and suppliers, automating payment reminders for customers that tend to pay late. The technology also automatically marks invoices as paid and applies that cash to a vendor's bank account on a daily basis, reports noted. Payhawk talks cards value for buyers and suppliers. Speaking with PYMNTS, Risto Borisov, co-founder and CEO of commercial card and expense management startup Payhawk, explored the value proposition commercial cards have for both buyers and suppliers. For fintechs, the opportunity lies in mixing payment rails, with the company's corporate card platform able to operate on top of companies' existing bank accounts. This means that businesses can transfer funds to their Payhawk accounts to use commercial cards without having to switch banks entirely. As more businesses explore use cases for card adoption, AP is a particularly valuable application, said Borisov, although any solution must address both AP and AR friction. For Payhawk, that means mixing payment rails and enabling businesses to make SEPA payments from their Payhawk commercial cards when paying supplier invoices, a feature the company will roll out sometime in the future, Borisov said. Proactus simplifies early payment discounts. In an effort to aid businesses facing cash flow constraints from the coronavirus pandemic, Proactus this week announced this week that it has launched a simplified version of its invoice payment solution, dubbed BePaid. The tool sits between AR and AP operations to accelerate payment to suppliers while offering buyers a discount. To further address friction on both sides of the B2B transaction, Proactis noted that it has reduced the burden on the corporate buyer, noting the tool can now be deployed with no meaningful effort from the large buyer. It's a solution Proactis said can enable corporates to support their own small suppliers, which is key during this time of need, the company noted. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.